Learning the additional parak that's not included in the Arias HaTorah that we have, we're on page 323, Sif Yud Aleph. Misibas Shiflus HaYadayim. Mimid Ha'esek Mendishmasa Deraisa. Niskalkul HaMaisim Nisarbu V'Hadayas. Because of a certain shiflus yadayim, usually shiflus means a feeling of inadequacy. The way that it's being used here, it's an interesting term, shiflus yadayim. It means a failure to act. But on a deeper level, shiflus yadayim means that there is an overall feeling that people have that they're not up to such a thing, meaning they're not on a madrega to be able to be Isaac in Nishmasa deraisa, in the neshama of Tyra, in the soul of Tyra. Siba shiflus hayadayim, mimiyut ha'esig min nishmasa deraisa, which causes this feeling of shiflus hayadayim, that causes there to be very little Isaac in the neshama of Tyra, in the soul of Tyra, in pnimius ha'Tyra. As a result of that, niskalkul ha-maisim, our maisim, our actions, our way of life, has been ruined. Niskalkul ha-maisim. When this arbu v'hadeyas, and there's tremendous confusion in our thoughts and our ideas of what Yiddishkeit is. He says there are some who have taken all of Yiddishkeit, have taken all of life as a Jew, and squeezed it into a mezgeres hadas ktsara, into a small little box of religion, of Judaism. They've taken this big, big, big Yiddishkeit of what Yiddishkeit is supposed to be, both in terms of how we act and how we think, and they've tried to squeeze it in, to push it in into the confines of the dry halachis and dinim, period, without any neshama, without any soul, without any feeling of Dveikus Basha. Vistalik Mimena or Nishmasa Ha'Elyaina. Without there being any of the Nishama Ha'Elyaina, the exalted Nishama, the high Nishama of Yiddishkeit. All of Yiddishkeit is just about doing and Mutter and Osir and Tamei and Tar and Posel and Kosher and so on. And the entire Yiddishkeit has been pushed into this Mizgeris. You see on the bottom, did it come out footnote 20? So he brings a Pasuk that I've often referred to over the years in the second parak of Yirmiya. So he says in footnote 20, Mizgeris shel chukim v'dinim, that to try to squeeze the bigness of Yiddishkeit into the framework of being purely a matter of chukim medinim. Of course, it's chukim medinim. We have to live according to all the chukim medinim. But the whole Yiddishkeit is squeezed into this mizgeres of chukim medinim, of a bli hagosha chayesh nachichus akel, but without a living feeling of the immediacy of God's presence, of the Baruch Shalom's presence. Kenema b'yirmiya. This is a pasuk in Yirmiya that very, very much defines what we're living through. Hakahanim lo yomru ayeh Hashem. The kahanim don't say; they don't even ask, "Where is Hashem?" The kahanim are the leaders. The kahanim are the one who are supposed to be our teachers. And the kahanim, according to the pasuk in Navi, the kahanim are not failing in their avaida; they're doing what they're supposed to do. Because they're carrying out the actual avodah. But Lo Amru Ayeh Hashem. They don't even ask. Doesn't bother them. Ayeh Hashem. Where's the Ribono Shel Olam? So that's a strange thing, no? The Kahanim are doing avoiding the Beis HaMikdash. They're living according to, not only are they living according to Halacha, but they're observing the Halacha in the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning that they're standing mamish in that place, whereas Shemaya, Va'ara, Nashke, Hadadi, where heaven and earth are meeting, are kissing, they're in that place of Bahara Shem Yeroah, from this parasha, the place of the Akedah. And they're going about their business, taking care of all of the responsibilities of the Kuhuna, meaning that they're Bekiyim and Kodshim, tremendous Bekiyim and Kodshim, they have to also be Bekiyim and Taharas, in order to be able to be in the Beis HaMikdash. And they're observing every single din, every single halacha with the Kuhuna. There's one thing that's missing. Loi Amru Ayeh Hashem. They're not even asking, where is God? Loi Amru Ayeh Hashem. V'toiv Se HaTorah Lo Yedouni. I mentioned the pasuk last week, I think. V'toiv Se HaTorah. Those who are the masters of Torah. Toiv Se HaTorah. The ones who have a grasp of Torah. Lo Yedouni. They don't know me, Hashem says. They don't know me. They're no shaychus to me. We're not talking about Amaratzim. We're not talking about people who are not keeping Torah mitzvahs. Hakahanim loy omur ayeh Hashem. V'toiv se ha-Torah lo yidu'uni. V'toiv se ha-Torah lo yidu'uni. Those who know how to learn, who are masters of Torah, they don't know me. But the ratio of the pasuk is even more disturbing. They're not even interested. Loy omur ayeh Hashem. They don't even ask ayeh Hashem. Because you could say that lo yidouni, they don't know me, das, is already a level of hiskashus. It's a level of connection, a deeper connection, das. But lo omru ayeh Hashem, they're going on with their learning, and they're going on with all of the halachas and how they live, the kahanim and the Beis HaMikdash, and all of kachim and all of taharis, and zram also, chumas and maises, lo omru ayeh Hashem. They don't even think about, where's the Baruch Shalom? Lo omru ayeh Hashem. So back to Rav Kook on top. So he says, so that's one type of a Jew that we have nowadays. Those who are trying to squeeze all of Yiddishkeit into the narrow confines of Halacha and of Nigla. That's one type of a Jew. Without the Neshama Elyona. But there's another kind. It gets worse. Rabu gam oisam hamagarshim oisam mikol gvul achayim. There are those who are magarish, who throw out completely. Mikol gvul achayim. From the whole gvul achayim, from all of life, they completely get rid. Mikol gvul achayim. They get rid of the nishmasa deraisa, meaning of the neshama ha'elyona of Yiddishkeit. They get rid of it completely. Now in footnote 21, the editor here of Tzuriel, so he believes that this is referring to the hisnagdis to Musa that was taking place in many of the yeshivas. But there's still an undercurrent of that. Not just an undercurrent, there's more than an undercurrent of that. It's just not as obvious, and it's not as intense as it was when the Musa movement was beginning in Europe, and those first two generations of the Bale Musa, really even before the Milchama, the whole division that took place in Slabodka. I'm not going to go over the whole history. Those of you who are familiar know that in Slabodka there was a division, a separation. It had to do with those who were pro-Musa and those who were anti-Musa. It wasn't meant to be anti-Musa. So there were those who were very, very much opposed to setting aside time during the day for Limud HaMusa. And as I said, the Milchama against that is not the way that it used to be, because Bechlal, things are not as intense as they were when there was such Gedolei Olam in the world who had who had very, very big shittas and big dayas about how to become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now instead what you'll have is that many of these shittas you'll have a 15-minute Musa Seder or something like that, which means that Musa lost. There are some places that are not like that. There are some places where Musa is still very big. There are some yeshivas like that in some circles. Rav Volbi, Zecher Tzadik L'Kadosh Baruch Hu, tried very hard to revive that in our generation. And he created a base Musa in Yerushalayim. He wanted very much to revive that. But for the most part, Musa has lost. Musa lost. As far as the yeshivas are concerned, to have a 15-minute or a half-hour seder, to have some vad for a few minutes, and to kach tzarein a little bit in the Mesillas Yesharim, as if you're learning a Taisus, so Musa lost. In terms of the Avoida HaPnimis that was by the Gedolei HaMusar, in the Musa Yeshivas, in Kelm, and in the Vardik, and by Rabbi Yeruchim, this also in the Mir Yeshiva in Europe, there were big machloikis over should there be any Musa implemented in the Yeshiva, Limra Musa, and if there is, then how much, and what was going on with the Mashgiach vis-a-vis the Rosh Yeshiva. There's a whole history. But as far as post-Holocaust, to a large extent, Musa has been defeated. There are some brave, courageous people who are trying to be mechazik it, but to a large extent it was defeated. So the editor here believes that when Rav Kook is referring to those who have ejected and rejected the whole inyan of Nishmas HaDaraisa, that perhaps that he thinks that Rav Kook is, that he is alluding to the milchama that was taking place against Musa that was still going on in his time, the fight against Musa, which was a fight against that way of making HaKadosh Baruch Hu a very, very conscious part of one's life during the course of the day. It's hard for us to understand. Why would anybody be against that? Okay, we're not going to go into that now. There's a very, as I said, it's a long history to them. And it pervades to this day. And I'm not going to name different yeshivas and how and where, but that's it's, to a large extent, as I said, Musa has been defeated. And I don't know if that's, I'm not sure that I agree with that. That's what Rav Kook was referring to specifically. The Bali Musa were not Isaac and the Shmasa Deraisa. They were not Isaac and Kabbalah and Pnimius HaTorah to a large extent. There were some exceptions, but even those exceptions were not teaching it publicly, the Nishmasa Deraisa. But it certainly is correct to say that the fight against Musa was a fight against allowing a Kadosh Baruch Hu into our lives. Even though that was not the intention of the great Rosh Yeshivas who were involved in that, but that really is what has come about. Rabu gam oisam ha-megarshim oisam mikol gvul ha-chayim. Mikol gvul ha-chayim. Any Asik in Pnimius, any Asik in talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, aside from the Gemara that quotes the Pasuk. And even then, in many, many circles, they weren't even learning the Agadita. In the yeshivas, when it came to a part of the Gemara that was not halacha, they would skip. Or if they would do it, they would just go very, very quickly to just read the words. With the Agadita is also the Neshama of the Raisa, and the Neshama of Torah. The Chazal say that if you want to be Marcus, Misham of Ahayalim, if you want to recognize who's the creator of the world, you learn the parts of the Gemara that's the Agadita. But this is the problem. They did not want to know who is the creator of the world. Umemela kasher ein ha'oira ha'elokis ha'chovshis mi'ira klal. So Rav Kook says, we understand that what's the result of this? When that light of God is not able to illuminate our lives in an open and free way, as nasim ha'chayim mesubachim, then life becomes complicated. It's an interesting word. Nasim ha'chayim mesubachim. Because if you ask somebody, why don't you learn any Pnimius HaTorah, he'll say to you, it's too complicated. Rav Kook says that because of the failure to learn Nishmas HaDaraisa, life has become complicated. Life could be a lot simpler. Nasim ha'chayim mesubachim umedulolim. Medulalim, when something is impoverished, falling apart. La'ein marpe, and nobody knows the cure. What's the refuah? La'ein marpe. This is exactly the masiv that we're in. In 100 years, it hasn't changed. It's gotten worse. And Rav Kook says, "V'arufuhi achas." There's one refuah. There's one refuah to repair our ruined lives, the ma'isim hamakukolim, our deis, our way of thinking that has become confused. Our lives that have become complicated and impoverished. Any little thing now, a person feels like it's too much. There's never been a time where the word overwhelmed has been used as in such an overwhelming way that it's used now. Everything is overwhelming. Any conversation you have with somebody, he's overwhelmed. /stress. Tension, all of these, overwhelmed. Everything is overwhelming. Life has become very, very complicated. Nasim chayim subach umedulalim and impoverished. And nobody knows what's the refuah. La'ein marpe. V'ha refuah hi achas. There's only one refuah. Ha refuah hi achas. Lahair ba'or das elokim hagavoa, to illuminate our lives with a higher light of elokus. Lahair ba'or das elokim hagavoa. Harachava v'achovshes, and all of its expansiveness and all of its freedom. To free HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Rav Kook repeats the word over here, Chofesh, Chofshius, Chofshes, free. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shechina HaKadosh is not free. It's been placed in, the Shechina has been placed in prisons of, in prisons that are man-made prisons by those who insist that's not part of Yiddishkeit. That the Shechina, that the Bar Yoylam is not part of Yiddishkeit. That the neshmasa deraisa, that the neshama of Torah, is not something which should be learned, and therefore, year after year, thousands and thousands and thousands of talmidei hayeshivas, thousands and thousands, without Maharal, without Ramchal, without Kuzri, without the Bar Yoylam, the refuah. This is the refuah. Lahar bo'ra das alukim. Hagavaya, harachava v'hachovshes, to let the Kadosh Baruch Hu free, to let the Shechina out of the cage that she's been put into. Shehi or ha'olam, which is the light of the world, v'orim shel Yisrael, the light of Klal Yisrael. Umemela, techaye es hadas. And if we do that, that's the refuah that will give life, the cure that will give life to Yiddishkeit. As Gufa Deraisa, as Rav Kook always says, that he's not trying to take away from the, God forbid, from Torah Mitzvahs, from learning Nigla, from learning Shas and Poskim. He's not trying to take away Chas V'Shalom from being very, very careful with every single halacha, which is called, all that's called gufa deraisa, the body of Torah. It's not taking away from that. He says just the opposite. It's going to give life to gufa deraisa. It's going to give life to the body of Torah. It'll completely transform the body of Torah. And to make more of an excitement when you're learning Hilchos Shabbos. And to be more excited when you're learning the sugya and the gemara, and to feel how every single second that you're learning every single second that you're learning, that you have a chavrusa, and that's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Besides your regular chavrusa, you have a Kadosh Baruch Hu who is Yosef v'Shani Kenegdecha, that he's sitting in Mamish learning with you. Which the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says, and it's written in his name, and it's in the Tzavos HaRivash, that that's the kavanah the person should have when he's learning. You should stop and think about that every once in a while you're learning. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is Mamish Yosef v'Shani Kenegdecha. The Hashem Baruch Hu is sitting with you when you're learning. That's not a different learning. That's completely different learning. So the Gufa Deraisa is not going to be heard. Can you imagine that a body is lying someplace without any life? And all you could do is to have a discussion with this body. It has a little bit just to be able to answer your questions. And he asked the body, "No, what are you lying there like that?" So he says, "What am I going to do?" So he asked the body, and why don't you want maybe to be able to get up and to do something? The body says, "No, I'm going to lie here like this." There's only one refuah for the body. The refuah for the body is that it should have a neshama. And if the body has a soul, then the body can come to life. So if we see that the chiyus is missing, and that all of Yiddishkeit is being compressed into the narrow space of the dry observance of laws, with the intellectual excitement that comes with increased learning, because Jews are intelligent people and they love to learn, and all of that is terrific. But all of Yiddishkeit is being compressed into the narrow confines of Gufa Deraisa, of the body of Yiddishkeit, without the neshama. So then what's going to be? Ve'einayim yiru boru es amokum haroi lo. The eyes can see clearly. Es amokum haroi lo. The time and the place and the way to learn the Shema Sederaisa, the way to learn Panimiyas HaTaira, the eyes can see clearly. Ve'lo yi'izu roi lev legarish es ner lakim in ha'aretz. So that those who are ro'ei lev, who have hearts that are unkind, ro'ei lev, will no longer have the chutzpah to drive out the candle of God, the light of Hashem from this world. He uses a strong word to call them ro'ei lev. Ro'ei lev, whose hearts are ra. It's an interesting thing. He could have said something like tipshim, fools or idiots that are making a mistake. The Rav Kook calls these people ra'e lev, people of the heart that is not kind, that is not good. Sounds like Rav Kook was waging his war primarily against, as we've seen, primarily against the leaders. It wasn't a taina. This is not a taina. What he's writing here is not about, it's not simple Jews that are living in shtetl someplace. They don't know from right to left what. Those ro'ei lev, those whose hearts contain some sort of a malicious, negative, terribly negative feeling regarding this whole Indian of Nishmas HaDeraisa. It's not just the toes and thinking. That's what Rav Kook is saying. It's not just a mistake. It's not just a mistake. V'le'yizu ro'i lev l'garish es ne'er l'kim in ha'aretz. There's a certain problem in the heart that's not allowing this to happen. There's a certain roya halev that's also in the way of this happening. It's not just an inyan of not understanding something properly. What would be the tachlis? Why? And what's the roya halev that would prevent the Ner Elokim from shining in this world? It's hard to understand. But Rav Kook was on the inside of that world, and he understood what he was talking about. It's not just a mistake. And those who are inside that world now also know it's not just a mistake in thinking. There's something else that's going on, not just a mistake. To prevent this from happening, to prevent this from changing, people will hold on very, very strongly to what they're familiar with. And even if they know that things could be better for other people, they'll still hold on very strongly to that which they're familiar with, because that's their turf. And when they're on their turf, they feel safe and they're in control. And when they're taken out, or they're forced out of their element, so then they feel that they're no longer in control. And Rav Kook says, therefore, there must come to a time when these people no longer have the chutzpah to keep the light of Hashem away from us. There's a very, very wonderful Jew I spoke to this week. He might be listening to this, actually. So, he was asking me how, how is it possible to get the message of Rav Kook? He's a Chassidish fellow in Eretz Yisrael, and he wants to get the message of Rav Kook. He enjoys, and he's listening, and he's learning. He wants to get this across to the yeshiva world, to the Haredi world in Eretz Yisrael, not to the yeshiva, Haredi world in Eretz Yisrael. Is there any way that I could try to do this without mentioning Rav Kook? That's what he asked me. I have a letter also from him. A very wonderful guy, and he means well. In other words, what he's basically saying is that Rav Kook is unbelievable what Rav Kook has to offer. And this could change the whole Haredi world. Could you help us think of a way to do that without Rav Kook? Because we can't do it with Rav Kook. Because the Olam is, he said that there, he wanted me to talk to him or to people. There are a lot of people that they would like to even listen to these shiurim, but they're not allowed to, and they feel they can't. And if it gets, so is it possible to give over the same thing and to just call it Reb Tzadok or Rabbi Nachman? In other words, Rabbi Nachman already became already kosher. Yeah, that's right. So that's progress. That is progress. But Rav Kook, of course, the only reason Rabbi Nachman is already has been kosher in certain circles is because Rabbi Nachman is from a long time ago, and Jews, we move at a certain pace. And it takes 200 years until something is kosher. The Ramchal also took a while to be kosher. The Ramchal wasn't kosher for a long time. And it takes time for things to be kosher. So Rav Kook is not kosher, because it's still a very recent business with Rav Kook. There's still people who are alive who remember Yerushalayim back in the 1920s and so on. And therefore, it hasn't. Not enough time has passed for this Kleine Kapelach business to wear off. Is there any way to think of marketing Rav Kook? That's basically what he was asking me. I have a letter on my desk, and I spoke to him about it on the phone this week. Is there any way to market Rav Kook without Rav Kook? So think of a way to do that. Then it could really change a lot of the Yiddishkeit in the Haredi world. Rav Kook, but without Rav Kook. We could do such a thing. Just to try to get across these concepts, these ideas, because after all, Rav Kook, everything he says is deeply rooted in the Zohar Kodesh, in the Kisvari, and in the Svarim HaKadoshim. So could we just take away the Rav Kook part of it and get right down to the point, and without mentioning his name, so this way the Haredi world will not feel in any way that they're doing something bad or doing something wrong. This is, of course, one of the biggest avarice that's taking place now in Eretz Yisrael is the studying of Rav Kook. So what could be done to take away the Rav Kook from Rav Kook and to try to get this across to the world? And maybe this could change the whole world. So I'm not going to discuss with you what my response was. My response is what we're learning. That's what we're learning. One of the things I said to him is that really, it's chaval, you know, to be thinking about this so much and worried about this so much, because the revolution is underway and it's just a matter of time. So it's just, you have to be a little bit patient. And in the meantime, you learn what you're learning. And I told him, you think that when I go to speak to an oilam someplace, which I very rarely do nowadays, but if I go to speak to a chassidish oilam or to a yalithish oilam, I go say Rav Kook, I don't, you have to have seichel where and why, because you want people, they should be open and receptive, and if you say Rav Kook, and it starts to go, and things in the building start to go off, and everybody has to evacuate, and the water starts to come in, and everybody has to run out from the building, so you didn't accomplish anything. So you have to be a bal seichel. So in those places where there's some issue, then you have to be bal seichel and but you have to be patient. Soon this is all going to be such a joke. This whole thing is going to be such a gelachta. I mean, it's going to be a gelachta. I mean, there'll always be a few Hungarian holdouts, but aside from that, I'm Hungarian, so I can say it. It's going to be such a gelachta. The whole thing, you know, where this is going to go. But I mentioned to him one thing. I did say, you know, I was at a chasna in the summer. Right before the summer, I was a chasna, and I met there a very fine Jew, and he told me that when he was a bocher, that he took an interest. He had some relatives that are misnachlim or something, and they introduced him to Rav Kook's Torah, and he was in one of the strong yeshivas, not one of those yeshivas is in a Chavil Charedish yeshiva, And he went to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach to ask if he's allowed to learn Rav Kook's Svar. He wanted to know if he's allowed to learn Rav Kook's Svar. So he wanted to ask. In those days, you were able to go over to Rav Shlomo Zalman. I told you I did that. I went to his door and I knocked on the door. I went and he invited me and I spoke to him. I spent time there. On three occasions I did that. So he went to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach to ask, is he allowed to learn Rav Kook's Svar? He said that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach stood up and started pounding on the table. He said, what are you asking me these things? What are you asking me these things? He says, Harav, he says to him in Hebrew, he says, Harav, et tzadik yisod olam. Tzadik yisod olam. And he says, it's a mitzvah to learn, it's a mitzvah to teach. That's what he told him. He says, why are you bothering with these questions about can you learn Rav Kook? So, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is universally respected as the Paisek. They always call him Paisek Ador, Gadol Hador, Paisek Ador. And by the way, if you came to Rav Yoshev and people did with the same thing, Rav Yoshev was not the type to stand up and pound on a table, but he got very upset about it. There's a whole sefer now that came out, a whole kuntras, on different things that Rav Yoshev said about Rav Kook, that is being kept, consciously kept out of the Haredi world. So on the one hand, Rav Yoshev is the Gadol Hador, and he's the Posek Ador, which is not just implying, which is saying that he's the person that knows. He's the one that knows. And if you have a question, ask Rav Yoshev. Unfortunately, we were zeichet to have him for a long time, we're not zeichet to have him anymore. But this is not something that you could argue about. This is something that was just last year. Rav Yoshev was with us all of these years. And there are many, many stories of people went to speak to Rav Yoshev about this. And Rav Yoshev also was very angry. Rav Yoshev said they have to fire a person from Machon Yerushalayim who did not include a tshuva from Rav Kook in the Eitzem Mefarshim on Shas because he didn't want to have Rav Kook's name in the sefer, and the people from Machon Yerushalayim, to their credit, were very, very angry, and Rav Kabalkin Olav Shalom, who was a yeshiva person, Rav Kabalkin said, how could you leave out that important tshuva from Rav Kook from the sefer? It's a very important tshuva that is necessary to understand the Masechta. How could you leave that out? And Rav Kabalkin Olav Shalom, who was in charge of Machon Yerushalayim, so he was so upset with this person that he wanted to fire him. The man was very, this Talmud Chacham was very upset, and he said, we're going to go to Rav Yoshev. Let's go to Rav Yoshev. So Rav Kabalkin said, we'll go to Rav Yoshev. And Rav Yoshev heard this, and Rav Yoshev said, Zichri should be fired right away. 100% out. These are not mysterious things. Rav Kabalkin wrote this. You can look up this online. This is all recent history. This is a few years ago. This is not a long time ago. Rav Yoshev was just nifter. So there's a certain inyan that's going on that is not just a mistake in dayas. There's a certain raya halev also. There's a concerted effort on the part of certain people. It's not the tamimizdik people, the amcha beis Yisrael. There's a concerted effort on the part of certain individuals to keep things the way that they are, to keep the status quo. Because if the status quo is going to shake, if it's going to rock, then it's not an inyan of Jews becoming kaifim and Jews losing the 13 Ikari Hamuna. It's maybe the possibility of them losing their positions in Klal Yisrael, losing their authority over Klal Yisrael, over certain percentages or pieces or parts of Am Yisrael. I'm not saying that Chalila, that there's a large such group of, but it's definitely there's an inyan of Roya Halev that's involved in this. Not just a toast, not just a mistake. It's more than that. There is some sort of an effort that's being made, Legarish is ner elokim min haaretz, to prevent the light of God from shining into the world. And the place in the world where this effort is strongest is in Eretz Yisrael. Not in Chutz La'aretz. It's in Eretz Yisrael. If I would be giving this year in Eretz Yisrael, okay, it's Erev Shabbos, but by Sunday there'd already be signs plastered up all over. Right? Oh, with every possible lashon of Isra, Chayram, Koinem, Nazira, Shimshon, every single lashon would be already. It wouldn't mean you can get away with it because it's a risk of having to get a place somewhere in five towns. But if this would be in Bnei Brak or in Yerushalayim, so there is. In that place, which is the place of Das Elokim, in the place of Nevuah, in the place of the Shechina Kadosh, more than any other place in the world, there's a chutzpah to keep this Das Elokim away. And it's not just against Rav Kook. It's not just against Rav Kook. You see that There was also hisnagdis. There was hisnagdis to the Levavi Mishkan Evne. Whenever something is beginning to cause a spiritual upheaval, then the Roye Lev come with a hisnagdis. There's a hisnagdis to Rav Kluger, but in a very vile and obscene way. And it's coming from not just from the Litvisha circles. It's coming from Chassidisha circles as well. Against Rav Kluger is mostly from Chassidisha circles. With the Bilvavi was more from the Litvisha circles because that's where he comes from. It's a hisnagdus. And it's always in Levushim that this is dangerous, this is going to take people away from Yiddishkeit, what's it going to cause? It's going to cause you to lose your job, that's what it's going to cause. Yeah. Because they're going to see you as being an irrelevant antique, period. You're an irrelevant antique. You never said anything that interested a Jew since 1954. In your shmuz. I'm not talking about a learning chas v'shalom. I'm talking about lamdon. I'm talking about sincere talmid chachamah saying shiurim and Torah. That's the most beautiful and sweetest and the holiest thing in the world. I'm talking about those who are supposed to be the toifsei ha-Torah, the kahanim, the mashpiyim of your shemayim. Ravolbi fought against the same thing. There wasn't a hisnagdis to Ravolbi. Of course, after he dies, kodesh, kodesh, kodesh. When Ravolbi was alive, he didn't have hisnagdis. There weren't people because he opened up a base Musa and he wanted to be Mechazik the Nin of Musa, not Toma Kabbalah. Musa. It's dangerous. I was not ready. Lashon is from so long ago. Lashon is from a long time ago. So there is an inyan of a certain chutzpah. Legarish is ner lekim in haaretz. He's not talking about Jews who are not religious. They don't care about God. I mean, there's some that have an inyan with God, so they scream. But that's not what we don't. Nobody here is bothered by Mordechai Kaplan and Martin Buber. I mean, you have an inyan with them. I don't even know who's the head of the Reform movement nowadays. I knew the last one who he was. I don't know who it is now. They have somebody else. But you have an inyan with these people. They're keeping the Bnei Shalom away from us. The Reform rabbis and conservative rabbis are keeping Kadosh Baruch Hu away from us? No. They have their inyan with their people. They're not keeping it away from us. V'yisyashu ha-maisim. U'mimela ta'ir ha-das. So that our maisim, our way of life, can be a different way of life. That it won't be maisim mekulkalim. That our maisim won't be mekulkalim. L'moshel. I was talking, there's a chassidish woman that called me last week, and she's married to a very, very wonderful person. And in that neighborhood where they live, so she said, this is the problem. The problem is that he doesn't want, he's not officially eligible to take money from the government for certain, for programs, for different programs. He's not eligible. And therefore, he refuses. He's not taking any money. Even though they have a large family, and it's, she says it's very, very, very hard, because all of their neighbors, and all of their cousins, all of their relatives, all of the relatives are on programs. Even though she said that most of them are making much more than my husband. My husband refuses. My parents, she says, meaning his in-laws, my parents are very upset. His parents are upset. All of the relatives are doing this. And the rabbunim from the neighborhood, the rabbunim, say that it's perfectly permissible. So what's the svara that it's perfectly permissible? Because the programs are made really for goyim. And they don't understand that Yiddish families have more children. And Yiddish families have to pay for kosher food, which is more expensive. And the Mela, if they knew that, if the goyim would understand that, they would give the Yidden more money. But since they don't know that, so therefore we're allowed to write false papers and to take money from the government. Okay. So, yeah, this is, I'm not saying that this is, all the rabbonim say this, but this is what she's being told, and there's tremendous pressure coming from her family that how can your children have to dress this way when all the other children are dressed so beautifully, and your children are wearing the same thing that they wore last week or something, or a month ago, they have to wear the same clothing because they're not on any programs. If they would be on these programs, they'd be up. And she said, even when it comes to wick, she said that her husband won't be shum oifen, only he will not use any of the wick money, only what it's for, which is for the milk and for the bread, whatever. He won't use, you know, the grocery to make a deal that they could use it. He won't do it. Her husband will not do it. And she says, I'm having with my family, with my all the relatives, they're making me crazy. What do I do? I said, why are you asking me? Ask one of the rabbunim. I'm not Yeruv. Ask one of the rabbunim. What are you asking? Talking to him. She says, no, I dafka want. My husband said you could to ask outside, because I have a shaychus to the husband. Ask outside. So I had a talk with her, and to her credit, she said she's 100%. She just wants to be able to feel that this is the right thing, and she's doing the right thing, and 100% she's okay, and she's proud of her husband. To her credit, such a madrega. But that's a pretty hard thing to do. That's a madrega. Her husband and her, to be bala madrega. But where did it come to Klal Yisrael such maisim mekulkalim? Arabunim here, Arabunim there. It's maisim mekulkalim. This passes for a Jew. This is becoming for a Jew. This is becoming for a Jew to make up papers, to make false papers. I said to her, it'd be better for you to go live in a shack someplace in the mountains than to become a ganav with Gezel Akum. It'd be better to go live some. She said that. So her husband said the same thing. We don't have to live in our neighborhood. We'll go someplace cheaper. And what's going to be with the chinuch of the children? The chinuch of the children. Maybe they get a better chinuch. You go to some village and sit and learn with them instead of the chinuch that they're getting, where it comes out that you end up, they're also going to end up taking all the programs from the government. But they'll have long pays. But it's such a kilkel. It's such a kilkel. And if this will be heard by people, then this sounds like it's such a kilkel that what I'm saying now sounds so crazy and so bizarre and so off. Just to talk about Jews making an honest living and buying what you can afford. And if you can't afford it, you don't get it. And if you can't get your little boy patent leather shoes and a bow tie for Yontif, so that you don't get him a patent leather shoes and a bow tie with matching suspenders. So you don't. You live a simple life and you buy what you can afford, and if you can't afford it, then you move where you can't afford it. This was something which I thought was obvious, and this is how we lived for a long time. But there's such a kilkel. And in those places where the Davke, in places where the Jews, they're paying members of clubs of the Talmidim of the Talmidim of the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. And such kilkulim. I mean, this is a Jew who does learn, opens up a Noyim El HaMelech on Shabbos. But it's Lo Yidouni. It's Lo Omru Ayei Hashem. Lo Omru Ayei Hashem. And when you have Jews like the Bilvavim, like Rav Kluger, and other people who are screaming out Ayei Hashem, and are screaming there should be more and more Pnimiyus, and they say Ayei Hashem, they're not going to bother Rav Tzvi Meir. They're not going to bother Rav Tzvi Meir, because Rav Tzvi Meir says everything in Pashtus and with crying and Bechir. They don't mind that. Even though there's tension over there as well, those in the yeshivas know it's not so Pashtus the fact that there are hundreds of people that are going to Rav Tzvi Meir either. That's not sitting well with a lot of people. But what are you going to say? He's not teaching anything in Pnimiyus. He's not teaching Kabbalah or anything. So that they don't have a pes. What's the pesach and peh? Nowadays it looks funny to say, how dare he get up and say something to the Kedusha Levi? That wouldn't go over. So Reb Simei can get away with it. But when it comes to someone, the second someone starts with Pnimiyus, Nishmas of their Eiser, so then they're ready, boom. Unless it's kept very, very quietly to only certain tiny little chugim, and is not being brought out into the world. So therefore, Rabbi Yaakov Hillel Zolgazon Zayin, he could have his group of that learns Kabbalah, and there are different mukubalim, tzaddikim, that have chaburis, that learn the Shemasa Deraisa. But when it becomes somebody who's getting the word across to the world at large, and it's getting out of the room, so then, boom. So what happens? So if Cook says it, that if the Shechina would be allowed out of the cage, then Yisyashu HaMaisim. Yisyashu HaMaisim. The Maisim could be more straight, could be more Erlich. That's why I went into this thing about the woman or the husband. Yisyashu HaMaisim. To be straight. That our behavior should be a behavior that's straight, that's Erlich, that's honest. To be straight and honest people. So you could ask, what does that have to do with learning the Shemasa Deraisa? It's not just because you sit and you open up one of the Svarma Gadaisha. It means that a person, it means the whole program that Rav Kook is talking about. In Nistar and in Nigla, the whole program, Yisyashu HaMaisa. Mimela Ta'ir Hadas. Mimela Ta'ir Hadas. The mind. So the Maisa can be repaired. Ta'ir Hadas. And our minds can be illuminated. Can be illuminated. Ta'ir Hadas. Or HaShalom Yizrach. And the light of peace will begin to shine. Because in that place of Pnimiyus, as we spoke about many, many times over the past couple of months, there's no machlokes. If you look in the Zohar Kodesh, look in Kisra Ari, you don't have machlokes. Every single page of Gemara is all machlokes. Which itself is the very, very beginning, of course, what that is. But in Pnimiyus and Pnimiyus, it's not a machlokes. Like they make a joke by the Chassidim, they say a joke that how is it that the Litvaks believe in God? How could it be such a thing that the Litvaks believe in God? The Chassidim don't understand. How could the Litvaks believe in God? So they say, because if the Rambam says that there's a God, the Raiva doesn't slug him up. In other words, the Raiva doesn't argue on the Rambam that there's a God. So that's how we know that there's a God. That's how there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, because he's not slugged up by the Raiva. If the Raiva would say, then it would be a Taka Machloikis. If the Raiva would say that there's no God, then it would be Machloikis, Rambam and Raiva, whether there's a God. So Baruch Hashem, the Raiva was a big tzaddik, and he believed in God like the Rambam. So therefore, since there's no Machloikis, Rambam and Raiva, we can go weiter. So we could say that there's God. And now we could argue about everything else. Everything after that, there's a big argument. And even exactly what the Baruch Shalom is with us, there's a big argument. But in Pnimius, it's all the light of Shalom. And Pnimius is Or HaShalom Yizrach. When a person is in touch with who he is, Be'emes, his neshama, in that place of his own neshama, so then he doesn't get crazy what the other person is doing. He doesn't have an inyan with the other person. He's b'shalom with himself, and me'mele he's b'shalom with everybody else. V'or ha'emes yoyer oyroi, and the light of truth will be able to shine with its light. The light of truth will be able to shine. And Rav Kook says that harafu hi achas. This is the only cure. This is the only cure. But any time that this cure is being recommended, any time that this is being prescribed, there's an unbelievably strong negative reaction among people. There's a very, very strong reaction against. Whenever someone comes out and talks openly about the cure, I'm not talking about some stamp Nairish guy. It's a serious thing. And it's openly the cure, then there's going to be Zelo Maza to come and to fight against it, that it shouldn't come out. And it will come in such a strange way, in ways that are not bedachatav, like the accusations that were made against Rav Kluger that are being made, they're so strange. They're so bizarre. It's like it was made against Rabbi Nachman in his time, against Ramchal in his time. It's just very, very, very strange. I think this is said that are so irrational, because it's an emotional inyan. It's not just a mistaken thinking. There's something emotional about it. And when you get emotional, you know, when you're in a debate and you lose your mind, you start to get emotional, it's bad. When people start to get emotional about this, then they say things that are irrational. And they make accusations, God forbid, they accuse people of things that are strange, that are irrational, that don't fit in with who the person is and what the person's life is all about. And this is the same thing with Rav Kook. With Rav Kook, it's not just, but there were certain chiluk edayis by Gedolim that they had with some of the things that Rav Kook was teaching. That wasn't with a sin, that wasn't with a hatred. The Chazon Ish had differences with Rav Kook, but there was no inyan of chas v'shalom of a hatred. When Rav Kook spoke by the opening of the Beis Yosef of the Yeshiva in Bnei Brak, when Rav Kook was speaking, the Chazon Ish didn't sit down the whole time. He stood the whole time. It's a historical fact. He wouldn't sit down. Everybody else was sitting, and the Chazon Ish stood the whole time. He didn't hate Rav Kook. There were chiluk edayis. Rav Chaim Zonnefeld had chiluk edayis with Rav Kook. There was chiluk edayis. Some achlaikis in certain nekudas. Whether it should have been said or shouldn't have been said, how to say it. Those are legitimate arguments, of course. These were great people, and the chalukidays, they've always been chalukidays. But to make a person that he's chalila, that he's treif, that he's possum. And that's why the Chofetz Chaim wouldn't agree to speak to people who were part of the delegation when they came to Europe because of the convention. They wanted to get the Chofetz Chaim to sign, to agree. The Chofetz Chaim said, they're not allowed to walk into my house. Those who said things against Rav Kook, the Chofetz Chaim said, are not allowed in his house. So, the Chofetz Chaim, everybody respects the Chofetz Chaim. Everybody loves the Chofetz Chaim. Everybody holds the Chofetz Chaim's Das Torah, Das Torah, Das Torah. But those people who hold so strong from the Chofetz Chaim wouldn't allow you into his house. Chofetz Chaim, you don't think the Chofetz Chaim might have had a disagreement with some of the things that Rav Kook said? Of course he had a disagreement with some of the things that Rav Kook said. That wasn't that Chofetz Chaim tore down Rav Kook. It doesn't mean that the Rav Kook is not a tzaddik, is not a kaddish. So it's the chiluk edayis of how to say certain things, of what to say. Say that, but not to destroy. That's coming from Raya Halev. There's an inyan of Raya Halev. It's not just an inyan of chiluk edayis. There's something else besides chiluk edayis. And as a result of all of that, the Shechina Kedosh is the one who suffers. And the Shechina Kedosh is Knesset Yisrael. And because of that, this light of truth and this light of Shalom is still not shining upon us. We should be Zoichim as Hashem that each one who is able to learn, who is able to give over to others, who is able to be Mechazik others, that there should be Taka a big, big revolution to bring this more and more into the world. And we should be zeichet that it should come to the time that it won't be any more the floods like we had this week. It should be a molahar's day as Hashem kemaim liyam achasim. That's the way it's supposed to be. Not these waters, not a marble. It should be kemaim liyam achasim with das, with day as Hashem kemaim liyam achasim.